Welcome back. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, bumping into beautiful, sunshiny skies here in SoCal. That must have been taken last week. It is raining here in SoCal. It's good. I like it. We need it. We are broadcasting from the Quicken Loans studios. Mortgage confidently with Quicken Loans. All right, so a busy third hour. I started off with this email going back to last hour. Rome, would it have killed grandpas, Matt and Tyler, to write some jokes for that skit? Good Lord. War Matt and his grandpa sharing a Viagra prescription. Dan in Denver, remember the name. Stucknuts in. Stephen H-Town. Those were great impressions. Signed, Parody Larry as Aaron Rodgers.
Lawrence, what's going on?
Actually, it's Aaron Rodgers. Jim, I'm all depressed after watching my boys get beat down by the Lions. So I'm hanging here with my friends to help me ease the pain while I'm doing rehab. Hey, Tiger, you want to say hi to Romy? Hey, Van Smack, my glutes feel good. My golf swing doesn't look good. I don't like my chances.
Three characters, one voice. Nice try with that, Larry. That almost worked. Oh, so close. You know, if there's anything more tired and more lame than even the Pats calling themselves underdogs, Tom Brady saying everybody thinks we suck and can't win a game, if there's something even worse than that, and at this point there's not, but something in the same conversation is that slow motion divorce going on in Pittsburgh between the Steelers and Antonio Brown. Now remember, that busted out in the locker room and hit the streets back in week 17. Since then, it's only gotten bigger, uglier, and even worse for pretty much all parties involved, but especially AB. Now earlier this week, new Tampa Bay Bucks head coach Bruce Arians was asked about Brown. BA coached AB his first 2 years in the league. Arians had a front row seat. He watched Brown go from a sixth round draft pick to a rookie with just 16 catches for 167 yards to a second year stud who made the Pro Bowl with over 1,100 yards receiving. And we know BA is going to shoot you straight. In a podcast that he sat down for with Adam Schefter, he said what a lot of people are saying. He said that Brown was acting like a, quote, diva. And he said, quote, this isn't the Antonio that was drafted in 2010, end quote. That's not all. Then there's former teammate Emmanuel Sanders. Sanders was getting in some reps as an analyst on the NFL Network when he was asked about AB. And the answer he gave was firm, it was fair, and it came from a position of experience and knowledge.
It all sounds familiar. But one thing I will say is, man, when Art Rooney came out and said that, it's pretty much he's gone. Because being around the Pittsburgh Steelers organization, Art Rooney doesn't say too much. But when he says something, he means it. And so this situation has really, really got out of hand. And it's crazy because I don't like to see it. But I feel like Antonio brought it on himself. You cannot turn your back on your brothers and not only the Pittsburgh Steelers organization who gave you an opportunity to make you who you are in terms of Antonio Brown, the football player. And so for you to leave on a Wednesday and then have your agent call on a Sunday is the ultimate disrespect to the Pittsburgh Steelers organization. That's why Art Rooney feels the way that he feels.
That's a really strong statement. A really strong statement from a really credible guy. Now, maybe if you're Antonio Brown or you're on his side, you might say, yeah, but that guy's got a bone to pick, right? Like Emmanuel Sanders was there, and then Antonio Brown became a one, and Sanders is no longer there, and he's got his own agenda. Yeah, maybe. But is there anything that he said that didn't seem fair? I mean, that's a fair statement by a guy who knows all the parties, who was right there in the middle of it. And, you know, he came in to do a job. His job being like, I'm on the NFL Network, and they asked me a question about a guy that I played with. I was in that locker room. I was there. I know. So that's as good of an answer as you're going to get from another guy who knows what he's talking about. Of course, AB did not see it that way. AB felt like Sanders had his own agenda, that his agenda was to go there and talk about him. AB also heard what Bruce Arians had to say, and he was not going to take that either. Essentially, AB is responding to everything. At AB84 tweeted, Arians didn't draft me. He drafted Emmanuel Sanders. Same guy who missed rehab to go on networks to talk about me on situation he has zero clue. Arians now wears Kangol hats and glasses. Crying face emoji. But I'm a diva. Done seen it all then. They say we friends. Stop lying. End of tweet. So again, AB is not going to let anything lie. He's responding to everything. And I got to be honest. When I saw that tweet, I immediately wished that I had not. You know, just seeing that tweet made me feel like Jim Mora Sr. after somebody told him that the Saints season was over after three games.
I hate to hear that.
That's how I felt when I saw AB's tweet. Like, man, I hate to see that.
I hate to hear that.
AB, man, stop. Stop. You got to step back from Twitter. Step back from Instagram. Man, step back from teasing some big interview that's supposed to be coming and then never does. I think 500,000 Steeler fans started following James Harrison on the gram, and all they've gotten since then are some pointers on how to dumbbell press a dump truck and some random Bruce Lee quote. Because Sanders clapped back on Twitter and served his second dose of reality this week. Four crying face emojis followed by this, quote, he directed this at Antonio. Quote, you know damn well I didn't travel to L.A. to talk about you, fam. You tripping, yo. I went to be an analyst in which you acting foolish was the topic and I gave my analytical opinion. Get off the gas, yo. You did it to yourself. Get off the gas, yo. You did it to yourself. You know, there's something to it. In fact, there's more than something to it. I'm not sure I could have said that better myself. I mean, every day that passes makes this breakup more and more inevitable. Art Rooney II got in front of the local media yesterday, and he did not back off the statements that he made from last week, where he said it was, quote, hard to envision AB being with the team next year. Essentially, he doubled down. And remember, Sanders said on NFL Network, Art Rooney does not have much to say publicly. If he's saying something like that, then it pretty much means it is over. And while I can't even imagine a scenario, here, this is a key point. I cannot imagine a scenario where Brown or the Steelers are better off without each other. This brawl is not dying out. If anything, it's picking up. Former Steeler coaches and players are now jumping in and they're throwing haymakers and they're landing them. The brand and the business that AB has built, both on and off the field, over the past 9 years is no longer booming. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. This is an AB house. This is an AB house. He is one of the most electric playmakers I've ever seen. He is one of the best receivers I've ever seen. This guy's work ethic is incredible. He's fierce. I like AB. I like AB. I don't like this scenario at all. So for the sake of this team, for the sake of this dude and this team, let me say this. AB, get off the gas, yo.
Yo.
You did it to yourself. You're not making it better. I know you're proud. I know you feel like you have to respond. I wouldn't. Not anymore. You're digging yourself a big hole. Nothing Sanders said to me was unfair. Nothing Arians said was unfair. Dude, you've earned everything you have. But you're digging yourself a hole. Man, get off the gas, yo.
I'm Batman.
Yo.
Where do you come out on that side of that? Where do you come out on that? AB said, man, you know you got on that plane to go to L.A. to talk about me. And Sanders said, are you kidding me, fam? I went there to get some reps in, and you happened to be the topic. They asked me about you acting foolish, so I responded. You know I didn't go there to talk about you. I went there to talk about whatever they were going to ask me. Sanders is trying to get in some reps. Sanders is doing what a lot of guys do towards the end of their career or before the end of their career. They're setting themselves up for the next career. Did a good job. He handled that. He answered the question. Rome, I haven't tuned into the show in a while, so forgive me if this has been brought up before. What's with the diabetes tower in between Hawk and Alvin? Are you running a radio show or a daycare? Wore me buying an Edelman shirt this weekend. If they get it done, wore donuts. Tony and SLC. All right, so if you're watching on CBS Sports Network, you see it. There is a tower. A tower of awesome stuff. A tower of my two favorite candies, Skittles and Snickers. Official sponsors, yo. We've got boxes.
Yo.
We have cases. They're partners. They're sponsors. Great to have them. And we've got a lot of sugar in this house right now. That's what that is, Tony. So that's on the other side of the glass. We are out to Paul Flannery. He's a senior writer at SB Nation. A lot to talk about in the NBA. He's going back to Antonio Brown. Where'd he come out? What do you think about this? Is this guy being done all wrong? Should the Steelers do what they have to do to keep this guy? Can you not replace this guy? Or are they set with Juju and is it time to move on? And what about Emmanuel Sanders? Was he looking? Did he, as Antonio would say, did he go to L.A. to take a run at Antonio? Or was Emmanuel Sanders doing the job they brought him in to do? Essentially talk NFL. He's an NFL player. And an NFL player that was in that same locker room, that knows that coach, that knows that player, that knows what's going on. Because he didn't pull any punches. He said, you do not leave your team on a Wednesday, have your agent call on a Sunday, and expect to play. You can't turn your back on your team. I hate to say it, AB, but it's hard to argue that point, right?
Antonio brought it on himself.
It's hard to argue that point. You stop going to practice. You stop returning the coach's calls. And then your agent calls on Sunday and said he's good to go. He wants to play. And they couldn't let him play at that point. And then what about Big Ben? How is it that Ben always skates? It's never on Ben. Have you noticed that? It's never on Ben. And then Art Rooney saying, oh, no, we're not a disaster at all. My man, you're dysfunctional as hell. How can you say otherwise? Le'Veon Bell, gone. Antonio Brown, 1 foot out the door. And you missed the postseason again. And your window is quickly shutting. All right, we're coming right back. I'll put it out there for you. If you want to talk about it, go ahead. If not, there are other things. Like A-Rod going a bag. I'll try to get that in. Paul Flannery, when we come back. You're in the jungle. I'm Jim Rome. Phone lines are wide open.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. As promised, we are talking NBA right now. We are joined by a senior writer at SB Nation. Not only that, but he is the most prolific distance runner in show history. Paul Flannery is my guest. Good to have you back, Paul. Happy New Year. How are you?
Happy New Year, Jim. I don't know if that's a big list for people for that accomplishment, but I appreciate it.
Hey, Eric Burns is on that list. You're on that list. It's actually not a bad list at all. All right, so I'll hit you on that a little bit later, right? All right, so a lot of different places to start in the NBA today, but let me start with Boston. The Celtics trail the Raptors 36-30 at the end of the first quarter. Then they follow that up with a 34-17 second quarter. Paul, given everything that's been swirling around the Celtics, how significant was the quarter and what they did the rest of the way?
I thought it was huge. I thought it was absolutely huge. And as I was watching, I think I even tweeted, this is the best quarter of basketball they played all season. I'm not saying they were teetering on the brink, but you could see the outline of the brink from there. You know, if they had another bad night, I'm not sure how this would have gone, but they really pulled it together. And what made it so good, Jim, was that they got contributions from everybody they need to get contributions from. From Kyrie Irving, who was magnificent, all the way down to Jaylen Brown, Terry Rozier, and Hayward off the bench. It was the perfect example of what the Celtics want to be in a big game against, frankly, a team they're going to have to compete with in the playoffs this spring. So, yeah, it was huge.
All right, so let's finish that thought. I mean, hard to say that a mid-January game would be make or break, especially when you've got Brad Stevens as your coach and there's so much talent on that roster. But when you look at it, I mean, how big was that win last night for this group?
They needed it, and they needed to just take a big, deep breath, right? Because they're not as bad as they played. They know that. But, you know, things have been escalating around this team. You know, a couple of losses and they start looking inward and start, you know, Kyrie pointed some fingers over the weekend and it rubbed some guys the wrong way. So I don't think any of it, the thing about this team, Jim, is nobody has an agenda necessarily. They want to do the right thing. They just haven't been doing it consistently.
Paul Flannery joining us on the program. All right, I'm glad you brought Kyrie up. In saying that he regretted that what he said to LeBron. He called him over the weekend and said he apologized for, quote, being that young player that wanted everything at his fingertips. First of all, what do you make of that?
I thought it was interesting on a couple of levels. I mean, it's Kyrie playing three-dimensional chess. On the one hand, he's saying that he's acknowledging that he was a young knucklehead. At the same time, he's acknowledging that he's dealing with some young knuckleheads, right? But I think the part that people are missing here is that my take on it was that Kyrie was essentially, he noted he was apologizing for Rashid McCollum guys out. He said, Jaylen Brown was right. I shouldn't have done that. And I think what he was saying was, like, this doesn't work on these young guys. I know it didn't work on me, and so I have to figure out a new way of dealing with it. You know, I made for some good Kyrie content. I don't know. People are taking it 15 different ways, which is classic Kyrie.
It's interesting. Was he on any level right to call out those young knuckleheads? Was he right in saying what he was saying?
Let me quantify knuckleheads, too, because they are good guys. They're not knuckleheads. They're just young, and they're feeling themselves. They're trying to figure out their place in the league. But, yeah, I think that those guys, in particular, we're talking about Jaylen Brown, we're talking about Terry Rozier, and we're talking about Jason Tatum. Those three guys have not played as well as they need to play this year. And there's other guys who haven't as well. But I think when they're looking internally at what's happened here, those are the three guys. And sometimes that's unfair because, you know, who asked them to carry the load? But they feel like they can, so there's this push and pull. That's the whole team dynamic at play here. Those are the three guys that people look at. They're the guys I look at for a barometer of how the Celtics are playing, where they're playing together and connected.
We're talking to Paul Flannery. So when you look at what they did last season without Gordon Hayward and Kyrie, especially in the postseason, the expectation was these guys would just take off with both those guys coming back, but that has not happened. So we're talking about it, but when you get right to it, what is your sense as to the identity and the chemistry of this team, both on and off the floor and in the locker room right now?
They don't have one yet, which is weird. Marcus Morris even said that over the weekend. He's one of the truth tellers in there. He said, we don't have an identity yet. He's right. I mean, they started off the year not being able to play offense at all, but locked in defensively. Okay, fine. That's the way it's been. Then they switched that. They've been lights out offensively, haven't played connected defense. And so I think it's a developing situation. I think what you're seeing is you're seeing Kyrie start to assert himself as a leader. If you talk to them last year, their leaders were Al Horford and Aaron Baines. And that's a different kind of mindset than what you have when you have an abject superstar taking the reins. And so there's a little bit of push and pull. Like I said, I think everybody wants to do the right thing here. I also think this team is going to breathe a huge sigh of relief after the trade deadline, whether or not Danny Ainge does anything, and he's given no indication that he will. But I think for all those guys, they can say, okay, like, we're not going anywhere for the next 3 months. Like, it's time. We got to go play now. We got a chance to do something special. So I think you'll start to see them kick into gear as this goes along. But, Jim, I talk to people who think they're absolutely getting out of the East. I haven't seen it yet. And I haven't seen it consistently. Until they win games on the road, until they win games when it's hard, like last night, but on the road as well, then I'm going to have my doubts.
Well, and to that point, Paul, you raised a really interesting question in a piece for SB Nation yesterday. Quote, are we ready for a world in which game one of the NBA Finals is held in either Milwaukee or Toronto? So let me turn that around on you. Are you ready for that?
Not really.
What would that look like and feel like?
I think we should be. I think we should be because if I look at the East, I mean, they are clearly the two best teams. And I have questions. I have questions about Milwaukee and whether or not the style of defense they play will be successful in the playoffs. That has always been the question with Mike Budenholzer's teams. And then with Toronto, look, I know they got different guys, but they're carrying around tons of negative baggage. And they're very dependent on Kyle Lowry. So I definitely have questions about those two teams, but I haven't seen Philly ready to take that jump, and I haven't seen Boston. We just talked about them. And I love Indiana. I think they're great, but they're not that good, in my opinion. I think they're good enough to beat somebody and maybe steal a series that people don't expect them to, but I don't think they're good enough to take it all the way. You're really looking at Milwaukee or Toronto, and if this, you know, unless the Warriors decide to go on a run and win 20 in a row, the team that one of those two teams is going to have the best record in the league.
Paul Flannery joins us. Now, what about the Raptors? If they make the NBA Finals, what do you think that means for Kawhi Leonard and his decision-making? Could you really see him leaving Toronto in that scenario?
But I was talking to somebody about this last night, and nobody knows what he's going to do. And that's you know, with Kawhi, he has just kept a complete stone face about the whole situation. He seems happy. He seems fine. But there are not a lot of people who have really any serious intel on what he's going to do. A lot of people still think he's going to go west. He's going to go to the Clippers. You know, but I'm with you. I mean, you know, like Durant even said if OKC had beaten Golden State, no way he could have joined them. You know, things change. Things change in the heat of the playoffs. I don't know if that affects Kawhi at all. They've executed the strategy to put him in this position. It'd be weird if he kind of blinked right now it's a pretty good situation for him in Toronto, but, you know, San Antonio was a good situation, too.
Kawhi's Kawhi. Who knows what he's going to do? Nobody knows right. what he'll do. Now, Paul, you mentioned Philadelphia. Jimmy Butler, of course, had less than a positive impact on team chemistry in his last two stops. Right. What do you make of how he's fitting in with Philadelphia so far?
That's an interesting way to put it. Yeah, I mean, he's imploded two teams. I mean, you know, I think you have three guys who are in Embiid, Simmons, and Jimmy. You know, they all do things differently, and they want to do it their way, and they're trying to you know, wrestle for control a little bit here. I mean, the fit is not ideal. A lot of times when you get these mega teams that come together super fast, the fit is not ideal. We all got spoiled by, like, the 2008 Celtics. Their fit was perfect. It doesn't always work that way. My take on them is they've got talent for days, and it's the kind of talent that can win in the playoffs because Jimmy Butler is a stone-cold killer in the postseason and in the regular season, too. I mean, that's a guy I want on my side. At the same time, you know, you got to put up with him for 6 months to get that. Mm. So I think they're going to have some bumps along the way. To me, they are dangerous and a wild card team. And if they make the right kind of moves at the deadline and add a couple of veterans on the buyout market, whatever, you know, I think they are absolutely as dangerous as anybody.
Now, Paul, I can't believe that we got to the end of the interview or near the end without my bringing up James Harden. He went for 57 and 58 in consecutive games. Chris Paul is out. Clint Capella is out. Eric Gordon missed time during this run. This guy's doing this pretty much on his own. It's not like teams are not trying to stop him. How do you explain what he's doing?
I mean, he's the most complete offensive player in the world right now. And he's impossible to guard, and he's impossible to guard in this environment, in this era, with the way they call games. He takes the rules to the absolute limit, and he's impossible to officiate. So he really makes you do all that. You know, he's amazing. He's awesome. My only question, which is the question everybody else has, is how long can he keep this up? Because we're in January, and it's not April, and it's not the spring. And then when you get to the playoffs, what's going to happen when he gets triple teamed? If Chris Paul is not able to sort of become Chris Paul again. So that's the danger. That's the concern. But right now, it's just awesome to watch. I mean, he's amazing.
All right. So I mentioned off the top, you are the most prolific distance runner in the history of this show. You did tweet a couple of weeks back, optimism is signing up for a 50K with a nagging injury that won't go away. So when is the 50K, and how is the injury these days?
50K is in April, second week of April, which I think is the second Sunday when the playoffs start. That's how I judge my calendar. Injury has gone away. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling primed. Ran in the freezing cold this morning and, knocking out about 50 to 60 miles a week.
I was just going to say, so when you're prepping for a 50K, what is a normal training week like? 50 to 60 miles?
Yeah, anywhere from 40 to 60, depending on what I'm doing.
What is the long run?
The long run I do by hours. And so I'm up to 4 hours now.
Wow.
And I'd like to get up to 5.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. What's the pace of a run like that?
Well, the pace is different because it's in the woods. And so you're dealing with, you know, you're dealing with climbing and you're dealing with power hiking and you're dealing with stopping, you know, you have to fuel and all that kind of stuff. So the pace is different than a road pace, but, you know, 12-minute miles in that kind of environment with that kind of up and down, and where I run is really gnarly on the East Coast. That's pretty good.
You ever, and I only ask you this because it would happen to me. I've got no sense of direction at all, like none whatsoever. You ever get lost in the woods?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
What do you do?
Absolutely.
How do you navigate your way back?
You know, I got as high up as I possibly could and was able to see sort of a way out. And I had to go a little bit off trail, which I don't like doing because I don't like cutting through backcountry. But, you know, at some point I had to get back to where I needed to go because I was completely turned around, twisted around. And so I was able to get out of there. Where I run is not so remote like the American West, where you could be out there for days without anybody finding you. Where I run is a pretty urban environment. So I can always, you know, have a general sense. I'm never more than 3 miles away from where I need to be.
Is there wildlife?
Sure. I've seen a coyote. I have yet to see a bear.
I've seen a bear. I was in Montana once, and I ran to a couple of bears. Man, that is scary. That's not something you want to see. There's nothing cool about that.
No, I ran to a moose in Colorado, but
same.
I was an experienced
guy. Yeah, they're mean. So you don't want any part of a moose.
They are mean.
Don't mess with Moose.
No.
He is the most prolific distance runner you see in show history and a senior writer at SB Nation. Paul, great job. Nice to have you back. Good luck with everything.
Hey, Jim. Thanks a lot, man.
Really well done. Paul Flannery, always look forward to that conversation. I saw a coyote. We have a lot of coyotes where I live. I saw one at the top of my driveway the other day. Man, I should have posted that. The bobcat killed. Remember when I posted that? Instead, I went with Cody the ragdoll cat. He's performing. And that cat is a pimp. Check it out. It's on my Instagram feed, at Jim Rome. I did post a cat. It's a good-looking cat. It's a cool cat. My point was, I'm all about this cat, and he hates my guts.
We see cat, mate.
We see cat, mate. Not that kind of cat. Greg Hetson responded by the comment, he hate me. He does hate me, that cat. He hate me. All right, when we return, open phones. I'm not done, though. Other things that I want to get to. Jalen Hurts, I'm going to hit that. I really want to hit that. He's going to Oklahoma. No-brainer. For him and for them. A bag. I may hit that instead. A-Rod goes to A bag. At this point, this guy can't help himself. He was public enemy number one. He had the greatest image rebuild ever. But then he went back to his default setting. His bag setting. Football is about to get more fun this postseason with, and you saw it, Skittles, Snickers, and M&M brands. They are official sponsors of Super Bowl 53, and they're in this house.
Yo.
Pump up the party with some sweet surprises and post-touchdown treats. Do it now. All right, one last segment, and I want to get into Alex Rodriguez in a minute. Before I do that, let's take a telephone call. Let's go to Morro Bay. Curtis in Morro Bay. Good to have you, Curtis. How are you?
Doing great, Jim. Long time, first time. I love your show.
Thank you very much. Good to have you on.
Well, I got a take in regards to Kyrie Irving and what he was saying to LeBron James in mending fences. My take is this. He's going to be a free agent at the end of the year, and I'm wondering if it's, you know, if he might be calling up LeBron to mend fences, not only to say, I knew where you're coming from, but hey, let's finish what we started it out in Cleveland, out in L.A.
Yeah, you know, it's not the first time I've heard that, Curtis, and there's been some speculation that maybe he's trying to set that up. Let me respond to that, though. Good to have you on the show, Curtis. Thank you. So, Kyrie forces his way out of Cleveland, didn't want to play with LeBron, and now, you know, he wanted to be his own guy, wanted to have his own team, wanted to be his own man, wanted to be a number one, wanted to be that alpha, didn't like playing second fiddle. And it's been said that being a star is not the easiest thing to do when it comes to playing alongside LeBron. And now you see Kyrie getting what he wanted. He is the alpha. He is the guy. The Celtics are his team. And all of a sudden, he's calling up LeBron to apologize. And now he's got like this revelation, like, yeah, now I get it. Now I understand. So why is he doing that? Is he doing that because he wants to come to L.A.? Is he doing that to mend fences? Yeah, I don't know. You know, much like the conversation I had with Paul Flannery when we can't really figure out what Kawhi is going to do, I'm not exactly sure what Kyrie's thinking and what's rattling around his head. But let me ask you this. If he left Cleveland because he didn't want to be a second fiddle and didn't want to play with LeBron, why would he come to L.A. to be a second fiddle and play with LeBron? He left Cleveland for that reason. Why would he do that? You know, him bringing up the fact also that he apologized to LeBron, it's also a good way of acknowledging that he knows that calling out his own young teammates is okay. That way he's not a hypocrite. You know, if he does what he didn't like doing there in Cleveland, that makes him a hypocrite. But if he apologizes to LeBron and says, oh, now I get it, now I understand, then he can do the same thing that LeBron did that he didn't like in Boston and not be a hypocrite. So what I'm saying is, no, I don't think that means he's trying to set it up. I don't think that means he's coming to L.A. Because, again, that's why he left Cleveland. He didn't want to be a second fiddle. He wanted to be top dog. Yeah, maybe he just really does get it. Maybe there's that moment where it's like, oh, I do get it. Now I understand. Like that conversation we had with Paul Flannery, maybe that was his way of saying, I was a young knucklehead there because now I'm dealing with young knuckleheads and now I see it more clearly. 1-800-636-8686. So, no, I don't think so. I don't think that's why he's doing that. So then you've got Alex Rodriguez. And Rodriguez has been called a lot of things in his life. Liar, drug cheat, fraud, Hall of Famer, MVP, drug cheat, liar, fraud, bag. All these things come to mind, right? And then this guy actually pulled off one of the most amazing turnarounds, one of the most amazing image rebuilds I think I've ever seen. 3 years ago, the Yankees stroked him a $27 million check just to go away, just to get out of their face. Today, ESPN and Fox are both stroking him checks to be the face of their competing baseball broadcasts. Think about that for a second. You've got a couple of companies that hate each other that are perfectly fine paying and sharing the poster boy for the roid era. It's wild. But I'm not here to hate. I mean, good work if you can get it, and A-Rod got it. I'm actually here to ask a question. What's this guy going to be remembered for? What is his legacy? Is he going to be the juice head that made out with himself in the mirror and forever gets locked out of Cooperstown? Or is he going to become a celebrated broadcaster and the voice of baseball for decades to come? I guess it kind of depends who you ask. If you ask the current generation of millennials and Gen Zers, Alex Rodriguez is the guy J-Lo is dating. The guy J-Lo is dating. It's actually in quotes because it's a direct quote. A direct quote from a video that A-Rod posted himself to his own Twitter feed. The video is shot by somebody unknown, an unknown person, assumed to be with A-Rod. It takes place at a yoga studio where a girl who appears to be in her 20s is telling Alex Rodriguez that he looks like Alex Rodriguez. Only she did not know his name and had to look it up on her phone because to her, he looked like, quote, the guy J-Lo is dating. Check this video out. It picks up in the middle of the conversation when the girl finds a picture of J-Lo's boyfriend on her phone and shows it to Alex Rodriguez.
You got me thinking now.
Yeah, A-Rod. Alex Rodriguez.
Who's that?
That's the guy that J-Lo's dating.
You kidding me? And it looks like me?
Yeah, kind of.
First, let me see. Put it right next to each other.
Okay.
Face to face.
It doesn't really. It does look.
I know.
I'm right.
Let me
see. It's not like a good
picture. First of all, I would never wear pajamas in a movie. Never. I mean, what a tool.
Oh, here's
my. Let me see.
Here.
It looks nothing like. Oh, that guy's handsome. What happened to the guy in the pajamas?
You're not right.
No. That can't be. Hey, nice to meet you.
Oh my.
Wow. Bag. Much. Sweet self-deprecation there, Al. I love the part where she shows him the picture that she found, and it's that famous picture of A-Rod and J-Lo wearing matching jammies on Christmas. And Alex responds by saying, first of all, I would never wear pajamas that goofy. Never, I mean, what a tool.
First of all, I would never wear pajamas that goofy. Never, I mean, what a tool.
Good one, A-Bag. You got that tool part right. The only thing more lame than throwing your celebrity card is dangling it above somebody's head as they Google pictures of you. I'm actually amazed that this guy lasted with this bit as long as he did because nobody's ever been happier with themselves for doing anything as this guy is for being happy with himself for dating Jennifer Lopez. There's the couple's workouts where he films himself in the gym listening to her music. There's the flowers he sent her and signed Macho 13. There's him showing up to her red carpet events to stand off to the side so he could take pictures of her on his iPhone. I mean, in case you didn't know, Alex Rodriguez is dating Jennifer Lopez. Did you guys know that? Have you heard that? Have you also heard that Alex has a new company he founded called A-Rod Corp? I've got no idea exactly what the hell A-Rod Corp does, but apparently the company and the CEO is pretty damn focused on making sure everybody knows that the Corp is dating Jenny from the block. Alex Rodriguez may never make it into the Hall of Fame, but he doesn't have to. He's officially earned a title and a resume line way more coveted to him. The guy J-Lo is dating.
That's the guy that J-Lo's dating.
Good job, Alex. Well done. I'd ask you if you're happy with yourself, but I already know the answer to that. Let's go to Pittsburgh. DJ in the Berg. DJ, hey, good to have you. What's up?
Just want to talk about this Antonio Brown situation.
Good.
You know, before there was Antonio Brown, there was Santonio Holmes, there was Le'Veon Bell, there was a James Harrison, a Mike Wallace, a Plexico Burress, a Levon Kirkland, Chad Brown. Yeah, I could go on and on. But what I do know is back when I first got back from Iraq after a combat tour in Iraq, I was invited to a game and got to meet the team in the locker room. And I remember being specifically asked which player I wanted to meet. And I wasn't really – I didn't really care. I didn't have anybody. I was thinking I'd like to meet a Rooney or something along them lines because the team – is the team. The players are just temporary. I ended up meeting Hines Ward, Jerome Bettis, and Troy Polamalu in the earlier parts of their career. It was just after Troy Polamalu's first game. And they were all humble, straight to the point, great guys. And I was really unappreciative in the moment. Now looking back, three probable Hall of Famers that I got to meet, they did it the right way. And I guess my point is this. The Steelers are fine without prima donnas. I don't think there's a single Steeler fan, true blue fan in the world that really cares about their prima donna problems. And quite frankly, they're all replaceable. So if they want to go somewhere else and take their trade somewhere else, and ball be, by all means, go ahead. We don't need the drama. We're Steelers fans for life. I'm out. Thanks, Joe.
Nice job. Nice job, DJ. Appreciate that. You know, he said they're all replaceable. Antonio Brown is not replaceable. There's not another Antonio Brown out there. I'm not saying that he can come back. I mean, my man's blowing up bridges. It doesn't sound like they want him back. But it's not as easy as if to say, you know what, you don't appreciate it, you're a diva, man. Get out. Beat it. Hit the bricks. Everybody's replaceable. He's not. But
hit the bricks.
But to Emmanuel Sanders' point, he's doing this to himself at this point. You can't justify what he did. You cannot not practice with the team. You cannot miss meetings with the team. You cannot return, not return your head coach's calls. You cannot not return a phone call from ownership if that's what happened too. You can't do these things and then show up on Sunday and expect to play. I mean, I don't really see a world where they're better off without each other. They need each other. But it doesn't sound like it's going to be workable. It sounds like they have irreconcilable differences. And I'm going to say that's more on AB. This is an AB house, but that's more on him. Heat branded products are designed to keep your fuel system flowing even under the harshest conditions. Remove water, raise MPGs, and clean the fuel system. Heat, baby. All right, that's it for today. We had Freddie Roach on. Manny Pacquiao is going to fight for the title this weekend. We had Steve Prome, Iowa State head basketball coach. Paul Flannery, a senior writer from SB Nation. The XR4TI doing its thing. All right, so big Friday tomorrow. Got to fully get into the NFC and AFC championship games. Your thoughts on that? Thank you for listening. Have a great day, and we'll see you right back here. We're out.